Welcome to Satellite Review. I'm your host, Christina Nelson, and we will later be joined by a special guest, Sarah Kurtz. Today, we will be dissecting the popular teenage novel, The Sun is Also a Star. Buckle your seatbelts because you're in for a wild ride. This story is not your average American teenage romance novel. In fact, the main characters meet and say goodbye all within one day, never to see each other again. Even though it is only one day, their short-lived relationship has long-lasting impacts. So grab some popcorn and settle in as we review The Sun is Also a Star. For any of our readers who have never read The Sun is Also a Star, do not fret. It is soon to be released as a major motion picture, so if you don't want to spend 10 hours reading the book, you could watch a 2-hour movie. Or even better, keep listening and I'll give you a 3-minute summary. The whole book, The Sun is Also a Star, occurs over the course of one day. Natasha is on her way to the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services office to discuss her deportation that night. She's an undocumented immigrant from Jamaica who's being sent back home. A few weeks prior, her father had his first successful acting job, drank excessively to celebrate, got behind the wheel, and got a DUI, which led to the discovery of his illegal status in the U.S. Because of her desperate plea, she's able to schedule a second appointment with an immigration lawyer for later in the day. To waste the day until then, she goes to her favorite music shop. There, she catches her ex and his new girlfriend stealing. A boy standing nearby calls them out on it. She later learns that his name is Daniel and that he is wasting the day up until his Yale admissions interview. He is the second child of two Korean immigrants and they want him to go to Yale to become a doctor so he can be successful. Daniel and Natasha meet and then part ways because she doesn't have time to make friends. They happen to have been going the same way and Daniel saves Natasha from almost getting hit by a car. Her favorite headphones break, but at least it isn't her neck or leg that's broken. Is that too harsh? Sorry. She agrees to go to coffee with him to repay him for saving her life, and they start getting to know each other. Daniel is clearly more romantic and poetic, and Natasha is more interested in objective and observable facts. He tells her about a New York Times article about questions to make people scientifically fall in love. Intrigued, they start answering the questions and exploring their pasts and futures. They discuss their complicated relationships with their families and their identities in America. Again, they part ways because Natasha has an appointment and Daniel has his interview. She doesn't tell him what the appointment is about because she doesn't think it is his business. However, Natasha's appointment got delayed because her lawyer was in a car crash, and Daniel postpones his interview to spend more time with her. They go to Daniel's family's black hair care store. Natasha meets Daniel's racist dad and brother. Mortified, Daniel apologizes, but Natasha tells him that it isn't his fault. They go to lunch together and get a little wild in the karaoke booth next door. Both of them are falling in love, but Natasha knows it's not meant to be. They have a fight because she finally tells him that she's going to be deported that night. He is angry that she waited this long to tell him, and she is upset that he can't sympathize with her situation. They part ways. Again. She goes to the lawyer's office, and he believes he can reverse the notice. Elated, she sets out to find Daniel and tell him the good news. At his family's shop, she finds Daniel's older brother, Charlie. Apparently, Daniel was just in the store because he went to punch Charlie and to tell his father that he doesn't want to go to Yale. Two things he never would have been brave enough to do before. Charlie gives Natasha Daniel's number, which is probably the nicest thing he has ever done or will ever do. She calls him and they find each other again, only to realize that his interview was in the same building as Natasha's appointment. His interviewer is the same lawyer that Natasha had met with, and Daniel finds out that he was not able to delay her deportation and she will leave that night. They return to Natasha's apartment to pack, and Daniel meets her family. Natasha makes her dad promise that he will try again at his acting career, and he agrees, which is something that she wouldn't have been willing to ask of him before. They take a cab to the airport and part ways for the last time. Eventually, they lose contact. Many years later, they find each other on the same flight, and the novel ends with the reader wondering what their reunion will lead to. I timed it, and that was 3 minutes and 41 seconds, so my apologies for lying. However, that was still shorter than a 2-hour movie. Today, we will be analyzing this story with two different intertwining lenses. The underlying plot influences much of the storyline. We will be using a new historicism lens and psychoanalytic lens. New historicism focuses on how history is not linear, while the new historicism lit theory focuses on the way the reader interacts with the text based on their background. Today, I want to focus on how the characters interact with the plotline. New historicists, aka us, examine all the cultural and political aspects that affect the outcome of the story based on when it was written. The story was published in 2016 and takes place in New York City with the two main characters as minorities. New historicism studies how the novel fits into history and current events. The current issues from The Sun Is Also a Star that we will be exploring from the novel today are immigration and race. Nicola Yoon is a very unique writer in the way that she writes from the point of view of almost all the characters introduced, even seemingly irrelevant characters such as the waitress and a passing by driver. Because of the author's use of backstories of almost every character that is introduced, the reader can see that causation is complex and every action by every person affects the outcome. The characters often question what causes events to happen and whether or not fate exists. This whole story occurs over the course of one day, but throughout it, the characters dive into their pasts and the pasts of those around them, causing the reader to wonder what really led them to this exact situation. Causation is complicated because there exist different universes with different outcomes, but we will never come to know any of them except one. New historicism asks why characters do what they do and what in their background influences them in this way. Many of Yoon's characters reflect on causation but are not quick to look at their own faults and or limitations. This is where the psychoanalytic lit theory comes into play. This theory focuses on underlying conflict and repressed experiences. Natasha has a strong fear of intimacy due to her broken relationship with her father, and Daniel has a very low self-esteem and a fear of betrayal after living his whole life in his brother's shadow while simultaneously being bullied by him. Yet neither can identify these problems in themselves. The id is the part of the brain that protects us from harm, and we will discuss how the id's selfishness plays into their fights. We now take a short break before we dive into the deep analysis to hear a message from our sponsor, Beats. Have you ever been in the situation where the love of your life saves you from getting hit by a car, but ends up breaking your headphones in the process? That's probably not likely, but you still don't want to have crappy headphones that break while you are in the middle of a life-altering love journey. Beats headphones will travel on any journey with you while still staying intact. Satisfaction guaranteed. In fact, in the very, very rare case that they break or you are unhappy with them, just bring them into your nearby Apple store and get them replaced for free, no questions asked. Although, if you did have an exciting reason for why they broke, like you just got saved in some romantic fairy tale type of way, our employees would love to hear that story. To try your first pair of Beats headphones, just head to our website, www.beatsheadphones.com, and use our code SATELLITE10 for 10% off your headphones and free shipping. Code valid online only. Now back to the program. Natasha and Daniel are both minorities living in New York City in the 2010s. Their pasts influence their characters, beliefs, and dreams. Natasha herself is an immigrant from Jamaica. She came over when she was 8 years old. Only 10 years later, at 18, she is forced to return to the land where she grew up. She is ripped away from her American friends in high school, will never experience prom, and will not graduate. Is it fair that Natasha has to leave the country she grew up in and is familiar with? I would say no, it is not. Children often suffer the mistakes of their parents, but Natasha's whole life is completely flipped upside down due to her parents' decisions. In a USA Today article titled, "Children of Illegal Immigrants Suffer from Parents' Decisions," the author fights that children should not be responsible and suffer repercussions for their parents' choices. Natasha is an example of many undocumented children or teenagers living in the United States, and is one of the least fortunate, as she is, in the end, deported. The author claims that the parents' mistakes were bringing their kids illegally to the United States in the first place. I disagree with this and think that parents would only risk something that scary and life-altering if it would improve the lives of their kids. I think Natasha's parents wanted to give her a new life with a bright future. The systems in the United States today make it that families are forced to leave their homes just by having an illegal status. If the book had been written 100 years ago, or even 100 years in the future, the outcome would have been completely different. The Sun Is Also a Star fits into history by dealing with current issues like immigration. The mistake I want to focus on today is the fact that Natasha's father's DUI made them get caught and deported. Natasha seems to blame her deportation completely on her father. What she fails to consider is how so many different aspects went into it for the exact situation to occur. If her father had not failed so often at his aspirations, he would not have been so excited to have a successful job that he got drunk that night. If he hadn't gotten behind the wheel, he never would have gotten caught. If the officer that pulled him over didn't turn him over to ICE, they would not have been deported. There are also a million other situations in which they could have gotten caught over the years, or in which she never would have been discovered. Natasha knows that nothing is certain and things happen simply by accident. She says, "People just want to believe. Otherwise, they would have to admit that life is just a random series of good and bad things that happen until one day you die." But she contradicts herself. She categorizes those who want to believe as the other, but she also has hope that she can stop her deportation. She's afraid to admit that she's putting her faith in accidents, but in the end, that is all life is. Her meeting Daniel, her coming to the U.S., her running into her ex-boyfriend at the music store, all of these are examples of, as Natasha says, a random series of good and bad things. But in the end, that is life. Daniel is the child of two Korean immigrants. His Korean past and American identity conflict often. Even his name is a combination of a basic American name, Daniel, and a Korean name, Ja Ho-bae. His parents came to the United States in hope of a better future and risked everything to be there. They expect their kids to be grateful and hardworking and make it worth it, which causes Daniel to have a constant pressure on himself. Studies have shown that Asian parents tend to expect their kids to be a direct part of them, adhering to their rules and expectations. The struggle between living an Asian identity and American identity can cause Asian American teenagers to have personal conflicts and cause low self-esteem and depression. Daniel's a perfect example of this type of struggle. The pressure his parents have put on him and the expectation that he will be exactly like his brother cause him to have very low self-esteem. Throughout the book, Daniel tends to second-guess himself and his choices. He is not very confident and doesn't seem to know what he wants. In the article, Cultural Differences in Parenting Styles and Their Effects on Teens' Self-Esteem, Perceived Parental Relationship Satisfaction, and Self-Satisfaction by Mimi Chang, she says that it is, quote, "not uncommon to hear about Asian American children whose college major was decided by their parents," end quote. Daniel's parents have already chosen that he will go to Yale, become a doctor, and live a wealthy, successful, and happy life. Daniel is not very confident in his choices and opinions, but he knows for a fact that this is not the life he wants for himself. Daniel's relationship with his brother, Charlie, has also greatly hindered his self-esteem. He has lived in his shadow his whole life and has a constant fear of turning out like him. His parents constantly compare Daniel to Charlie, and Daniel is tired of these unreasonable expectations. Charlie is popular, charming, intelligent, and athletic, and Daniel is constantly under pressure to be exactly like him. Both characters have strong fears that limit their role in their relationship. Daniel has a fear of betrayal due to his broken relationship with his brother. As kids, they were best friends until one day he decided he was too cool for Daniel. Although Daniel was little when it happened, he was damaged by the betrayal of the person who should have been his companion. Natasha clearly has a fear of intimacy. Her broken relationship with her father has damaged her so deeply, but she refuses to acknowledge it. When she first met Daniel, she didn't even care to know his name because she did not want to create an attachment to him. Not only is her relationship with her father holding her back, but also the fact that she is being deported. As an undocumented immigrant, she has learned to not get too attached to any person or thing. She relies on herself in an unhealthy way and avoids any close relationship. She admits that her headphones were her first love, which shows her disattachment to people. She chooses things over people because they won't hurt her like people would. Let's read a section from page 75 where Natasha says, "Besides the fact that I'm being deported today, I am really not a girl to fall in love with. For one thing, I don't like temporary, non-provable things, and romantic love is both temporary and non-provable. The other secret thing that I don't say to anyone is this. I'm not sure that I'm capable of love, even temporarily." Natasha pushes away any intimate relationships in an effort to protect herself from getting inevitably hurt. The id is the part of the brain that protects us and causes us to act out if it is what will keep us safe. This can explain some of Natasha and Daniel's fight. They both blurt out things that they know are harmful to the other person, but say it because it makes them feel better or will protect them from getting hurt in the long run. Daniel says, "Maybe it's better to end things this way. Better to have a tragic and sudden end than to have a long, drawn-out one where we realize that we're just too different and that love alone is not enough to blind us." By saying this, Daniel is repressing what he is really feeling, which is love. This brings me to the question that everyone has when reading a teenage romance novel. Were they really in love? And what does it mean to be in love? We have here pulled up the same article that Daniel and Natasha read questions off of, titled "To Fall in Love with Anyone, Do This," by Mandy Lee Catron, published in the New York Times. A study done by a psychologist named Arthur Aron was done to explore whether these 36 questions can promote intimate closeness and therefore create love. In his original experiment, Aron's subjects fell in love, and after performing the experiment on herself and her date, Catron confirmed that she and her partner fell in love. She doesn't know if she can fully credit the study, however, or if it was meant to happen anyway. She says, "Love didn't happen to us. We're in love because we each made the choice to be." It is interesting that the study comes to the conclusion that love can be whipped up in a lab and is not something deeply intimate and accidental. Natasha is constantly questioning love and the idea of love. This is deeply rooted in her fear of intimacy. She says, "How can you trust something that can end as suddenly as it begins?" She would argue that although love can be, quote, created in a lab, who's to say that it will last? The article and the study do not mention long-term results. The fact that at the end of the novel, Natasha and Daniel lose contact makes me question whether it was really love at all. But that's not up for me to decide. That's up for you, the listener. Before we close up the podcast, let's take a break from hearing my voice and listen to a song from Sarah Kurtz. She's singing a song titled "The Fault in Our Stars" by Troye Sivan. While the song was written for another book, pay close attention to the lyrics as they pertain to the plot of "The Sun is Also a Star" as well. If you didn't know, "The Fault in Our Stars" is another teenage romance novel with a non-traditional twist. If you care to hear more, tune in next week as we will dissect that story in depth. And here's Sarah.
The way of a simple human emotion weighs me down more than the tank ever did. The pain, it's determined and demanding to wake, but I'm just wanna see the stars with you.
Thank you for listening to Satellite Review. I'm Christina Nelson, signing off until next week.